There are certain calendar years that stand out in our memories. 1776, which was very good, Declaration of Independence. 1945, into World War II. See, you guys listened in history class. This is good. 1969, man on the moon, first time. The year 2000. Okay, Y2K, the millennium, all of those things that go with it. Last night I had a guy come up to me when I had mentioned 1969, and he said, that was the year the Jets won the Super Bowl. And I said, and aren't you embarrassed to bring that up because they've never won it since? But there are other years embedded in our memories. The year we were born, the year we graduated, we got married, we know the birth years of our children, all of those things. Well, 2020 is going to be a year that we will never forget as well. The year of COVID-19, the pandemic that altered our normal habits, careers, financial futures, and of course affected our fashions as we had those nice blue masks that we wear everywhere. Furlough has become a very common word for even non-military citizens as unemployment rose dramatically. The killing of George Floyd produced tidal waves of awareness about racial injustice, created an environment for much needed change across the globe. Outside agitators took advantage of the times, instigated violence in some of our large cities that we're still seeing. Even our much beloved sports were erased from the landscape for months. And their sustained return is still in question due to outbreaks and boycotts and financial instability. 2020 is an unprecedented year. And we've had to live by this phrase, flexibility is your friend, expectation is your enemy. And we know what that means. We can't count on everything we used to count on. We've got to be open to changing schedules, changing dates, changing finances. We can't put a lot of weight on our expectations because if we do, we're bound to be disappointed in some way. So flexibility is the key. And Christ Church is not exempt from these trials. Most churches did not meet for Easter or Mother's Day this year or weeks before or weeks after. And many churches have started shutting down in-person services for the rest of the year. Giving to God through His local churches is down across the board, and it's creating financial strain and the possibility that thousands upon thousands of churches will close for good in the near future. Only 1 in 3 Christians who were attending church before the pandemic have returned. And some may never return. Streaming services have been a blessing, but even that is trending lower today in all ages. In fact, 50% of Christians 35 and under who were attending church and started streaming services have stopped watching altogether. Sort of a fatigue with having to see everything on the internet. See, internet worship is a blessing, but it can never replace fellowship and shepherding and connecting. Talked to one of our members out in the parking lot today, and he said, just, it's hard to connect when we're not together. So that's the bad news. There's got to be some good news. And there is. Despite pandemics, despite persecution, despite hardship, Christ Church lives on. It always has, and it always will. Jesus once said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not overcome it. And now notice, it's Jesus' church. It's not ours. that he will build or grow his church. He will take care of his church. His church will prevail, guaranteed victory. And that means we, the church, especially today, need to be confident and fearless and courageous risk takers. Because when we, the church, obey Jesus Christ, there is no risk. We will be victorious. The church was God's plan A to evangelize and reach the whole world for Jesus Christ. There is no plan B. The church, God's body, God's family, we have that responsibility. And we will serve him in this way. We have a responsibility to take the gospel that never changes to a world that will never be the same once they embrace the gospel. And the gospel is simple enough for children to understand, yet complex enough for theologians to argue about it and debate about it for centuries. Simply put, Jesus arrived miraculously through the virgin birth. He lived, he died for our sins, he was resurrected from the dead to prove who he was, and one day he is coming back. It's all about Jesus. It's never been about us. It's never been about all the things that we want it to be. It's all about Jesus. And we must focus on that. That God's word doesn't change. That God's message of hope and grace through Christ remains the same. But how that message gets delivered, how it reaches people, how the church gathers and scatters is constantly changing. The pandemic has made this a very challenging time for all churches. And we're not the exception. Now, praise God, we're out of debt. And praise God, we're meeting all our expenses right now. And our giving has been good. But then summer kicked in. And our giving has followed the usual vacation cycle of trending lower in June, July, and August. We've seen it. And I thank you for your tithes and offerings. I thank you for your past gifts. Those go to the Lord. I know you're not giving them to me or the church. You're giving them to Jesus through this church. God's work continues through this pandemic. And your giving is not only needed for ministry and for our missionaries and for all the things that it supports, but it's an expression of your love and your thanks to God. Now there's more good news. We have over 500 who tune in to our worship services every week. Our recent outreach events, and you can see some of these here at Grace Works. For the police department, the sheriff's department, Franklin Elementary School, they've been impactful. And we've added Brian Myers to our staff, and many of you haven't had the chance to meet Brian. He's sitting down here on the front row. Maybe you saw him as we introduced him, but he comes in as our family and outreach. And he is the leader who's going to give us more opportunities to serve Jesus in our community. I pray for this church. I pray for you daily. I have served 7 churches in my ministry time. And I recently told a friend that Franklin Christian has had more spiritual attacks in its history, both past and present, than any church that I have ever served for the past 40 years. And I have to believe that God has something special for this church. And that's why Satan is fighting it so hard. There are many churches out there that have not survived what this church has faced in the past 35 years. But what I've noticed since I've been here is this church has never been too scared or too lazy, or too apathetic, or ignored the gospel, or given up. This church has never been afraid of work, never been afraid of sacrifice, never possessed a lack of love for others. that Franklin Christian is willing to take risk in order to serve the Lord, that we take God's command seriously to make disciples, and we're willing to do whatever it takes to reach the lost with the saving message of Jesus Christ. That's why we're here. We do a lot of fellowship things and fun things, and we like being with each other, but that's not why we're here. We're here for Jesus Christ, for His mission, for His goal. And that can be a little scary, and that can be a little risky, but it's not our church. It's Christ's church. And when we step out in faith, when we obediently walk through the doors that He opens, God promises to bless our efforts. Whatever we do, whatever we accomplish, all the praise, all the glory goes to Him. It's all about Him. Paul reminded us, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. It's for Him. And because of that, we must never stop, never give up, never quit, never grow lazy, never stop caring and loving people. People were Jesus' number one priority. And they should be our number one priority. People who are sick, people who are lonely, people who are wandering and depressed and hopeless, people who have got themselves tangled up in suffocating and destructive habits. And as we love people and serve people and point people to Jesus and redirect wayward people and restore broken people and disciple people towards maturity, we affirm our vision that Christ gave us. That we are in the disciple-making business and will always be in the disciple-making business. Before Joshua led the children of Israel into the promised land, he had this encounter. Now, when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" "Neither," he replied, "but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." And then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, "What message does my Lord have for this, his servant?" In other words, "Tell me what to do, I'll do it." The commander of the Lord's army replied, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. That ground was not holy because of its location. That ground was holy because of the presence of the Lord. The drawn sword was a message to Joshua that he was not fighting alone, that God would be with him, that God guaranteed victory. And here's what's exciting. We possess that same presence of the Lord. We always have. We always will. In good times and in bad, on the mountaintops and down in the valley. When it seems dark, His holy light shines through. It guides the way. It illuminates His path. It leads His church where He wants that church to be. Victory after victory after victory follows. You see, when we obey His commands, just like Joshua, when we display our reverence for Him and our respect for Him and our honor for Him and our worship of Him, He guarantees victory in all that we do for Him. Now, there's going to be battles. It's not going to be an easy road, for the enemy hates us. Satan hates this church. He hates all the families that are here. He hates your family. He hates your marriage. He hates your kids. He hates everything good that God has given you. And he wants to take us out. But Satan is powerless against our Lord. The size of our God should determine the size of our goals. And we worship a big God. So we better have some big goals. Earlier this year, Adam and I, along with Jeremy, shared our vision and mission for the next decade. Who are we going to be in the next 10 years? I mean, what's going to be our spiritual focus in the 2020s? There are many details we could cover, and some of those we're having to change a little bit this year because of the pandemic. But three statements sum it up, and you've seen these before. Know God's Word, experience the Spirit's transformation, advance Jesus' mission. And I don't want to spend a whole lot of time. We don't have a whole lot of time, but let me just sum these up quickly. First, know God's Word. The entire Bible is held in awe and respect at Franklin Christian. These are God's words given to God's people. And if there is ever a question about doctrine or leadership or relationships or conflict, whatever the issue is, we first go here to God's Word. It is vital that we see God and His Word as our authority. In fact, Paul warned us what was going to happen in the last days. People will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. Now, you can't read those two verses without thinking, that's what's going on today. That's happening right now. People hear what they want to hear, believe what they want to believe, and they don't want to believe in a God that will hold them accountable for their sins. But we preach and teach and strive to live out truth. God's truth in God's Word. And we also expect that will change us, so that we will experience transformation through the power of the Holy Spirit. What good is knowing God's Word without it transforming our minds and our hearts and our actions? And transformation takes time. We're all on different areas, different places on the same road. That road to spiritual maturity, the road that leads to heaven. And so we can't look up ahead and say, I wish I was like them. Or we can't look back and say, boy, they're not any good. They're not trying hard enough. We're on our journey. The church needs disciples. All of us working together, striving together to take this journey together. People who think like Jesus. People who live like Jesus. Individuals who seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. I'm telling you, God can do some amazing things through individuals and through churches who are sold out to Him. Things we can't even imagine. We'll also be known by advancing Jesus' mission. We don't worship a safe God. If done right and done in obedience, the Christian life is not for the weak-hearted. It's not an easy life. Jesus commanded, I want you to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always. There's the presence of the Lord. Always, to the very end of the age. And this command is for every Christian. It not only means that we support missionaries on foreign soil, who go out all over the world and who preach Jesus and who teach Jesus. It also means those of us here in Franklin. It means reaching out to those who live down the street, who live across the street, who live beside us, maybe even who live in our own homes. And I know that's challenging, but we don't worship a safe God. Safe isn't okay anymore. There's too much at stake in our community. Too much at stake in our world. And I know everybody's, we're tired of the pandemic and we wish it had never happened and we wish it would go away. But the fact is, this is an opportunity that the church has to reach those who are hurting and who are lonely and who don't know what to do, who feel hopeless and helpless. This is the time that we can reach out and say, have you heard about Jesus? Do you know what Jesus can do for you? Do you know what it means to be a part of a church family? Do you know what it means to have the Holy Spirit? You can do this. Safe isn't where we are called as a church. And earlier this year, we listed some details of our overall vision, our overall goals for every person who attends Franklin Christian Church. You've seen these, but let me go over them quickly. By 2030, in 10 years, we want every person to have read through the Bible at least once. Now, some of you have already checked that off because you do it every year. Praise God for you. But we've been trying to get to strive to tell you it's in God's Word that you're going to find answers and support and encouragement. And if you haven't done this, we want to help you do this. We have all kinds of ways you can read through the Bible. You find one that works for you. But we want you in the Word and reading the Word. And God plants seeds whenever you read the Word. Seeds that are going to grow. We want every person to be discipled and help disciple other people through the group Bible studies. And we have so many women's and men's and small groups that meet throughout the city and pop-up Bible studies that Adam brings out from time to time that are only 5 weeks or 6 weeks or 7 weeks. And it's just you commit for that time and then it's over and then another pop-up Bible study will happen. We're striving. We'd love to see 500 people be baptized at FCC before 2030. That every person has been part of a life group at least for a year. That you try it out for a year. To see what kind of encouragement you get in the family that is built there. Every person has participated in a cross-cultural mission trip. Or plugged in to a local ministry. Maybe you can't go overseas. Maybe you're just not able to because of health reasons or whatever. But we want you involved in a ministry in some way. And the fact is that every person has actively served in the church for at least a year. You find a ministry here as well. Whatever it is. Maybe it's working with our youth and we've been praying over that and opening up kids ministry and with all the proper protocols. And we hope to do that later this month or right after Labor Day weekend. That's what we're praying over right now. Praying for our middle school and high schoolers who are starting to meet. They've been meeting in the tent and now just an opportunity. They have so many things going on. And I know people always ask, okay, David, where does the new building fit into this? The new building is simply a resource where we will accomplish these goals and much, much more that we can't do in this location. We can expand outreach in ways that are just undoable here. And our website, if you go to our website, go to the red button at the top, the new building button. It has a list of outreach possibilities that we can't do here. And we're excited about it. And then you may read those and say, oh, I've got a couple of more I think we should consider. Let us know. Because we are spending time praying over those and seeing which doors God opens. If you didn't see the video of Brent Teener, who's the chairman of the elders this year, it's on our website. Look at it. Watch it. He shares a lot of information that you need. God has kept this door open despite COVID. I think it interesting. The pandemic did not catch God by surprise. God wasn't up in heaven looking down and saying, what is that? COVID-19? Where did that come from? God knew it was coming. He knew it was coming when he brought the gate to us at the end of last year and we started negotiations and talks. He knew it was coming when the gate bought our building. He knew it was coming and he said, I'm still going to keep the door open for both churches and bless both churches. And we must move by December of 2021 to be on the new property in a building that meets our needs. We're going to build in phases. We're not going to overwhelm ourselves or our ministries. But it's an unprecedented time and we have to take unprecedented measures. But I see it as Moses standing before the Red Sea with the Israelites behind him. The Egyptians are in hot pursuit. There's no other way. And the people are crying, what are we going to do? We're going to die here. We should have stayed in slavery. We should have stayed in Egypt. We should have, this is awful. We're, nothing's going to help. And Moses reminded them, God always has a way. You may not be able to see it, but God always has a way. Let me close by sharing this with you. University of Kentucky golfer Colin Brown died this past Tuesday after battling a rare bone cancer. He was just 20 years old. He had a bright future ahead of him. Great golf career. He was named to the SEC All-Freshman team. His coach said this about him: I have personally never known a more special or amazing young man. He was simply the most gifted person I have ever coached. He could literally do anything with excellence. And then I heard his coach say this, and this is what caught my attention. But his greatest gift was the way he loved the Lord and loved people. That is a tremendous legacy to leave behind, and one that will last forever within our UK golf family. You might be able to do a lot in your life. Get strong education. To have a great family. Wonderful marriage. That you meet your career goals and you are rewarded handsomely. And you've got all the baubles and all the things, all the possessions that you ever wanted. But your greatest gift, your greatest accomplishment will be to love the Lord and love people. And I pray that will be your legacy that you leave behind to your family, to your church, and to your God. I'm going to pray for you and we're going to dismiss. But I pray God blesses you in a very special way this week, that He keeps you healthy, He keeps you strong. And that He shows you His open doors to speak to someone who desperately needs Jesus, who desperately needs a church home. Stand with me and let me pray for you. Father, to those who are here today, I pray a special blessing upon them. And Father, with our leaders here, our elders, our staff, if anyone needs prayer, there are people ready to pray with them. People who love them. People who love you. Don't let anyone leave, Father, without feeling a word of encouragement. A word of help. A word of hope. Thank you so much for loving us. Go with us this week. May we honor you in all that we do and say. Thank you for your Son, Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Love you guys. You have a great week.